At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome into the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Hit That Line edition. We are back after a brief hiatus. Gave the fellas the week off last week as I was across the pond 7 hours ahead in the fine country of Germany. Highly recommend it. A lot of fun. Berlin is a fun place. Had a good time. But we are back in the studio, powered by our good friends at Home Field Apparel. If you haven't checked it out already, they've got a lot of Ole Miss merch there. Homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code LASTDANCE24 and you get 15% off your first purchase. Show also brought to you by our good friends at College Corner. Three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. Check them out, collegecornerstore.com. And they will get you fitted for the next home game. They will get you set up for the Grove. They've got anything and everything. You want to get a jump start on some Christmas shopping, you can do that as well. They will take care of you. Scott and the folks over there are awesome. We are also brought to you by our good buddy Drew Moak at USA Benefits Group. Cut your health insurance premiums 20 to 30% with Drew. Call him 601-953-8449 or check him out at usabg.com/DMOAK and get your free quote. You see the logo down there if you're on YouTube. We are also brought to you by Roback. Go to roback.com. No Ole Miss specific polos yet, but they've got some really good looking Mississippi themed polos. They're working on it. They're trying to get the licensing and all that done. They're telling me that they are trying to get some Ole Miss script, some script M or something on a polo. But until then, go check them out. I love their polos. The collars are great. And then, hey, anything else? I mean, the shorts, the joggers, everything that Roback does fits great. It's comfortable. You can wear it to go play golf or you can wear it to the office. Everything looks good. If you go to roback.com, use promo code JUICE and you get 20% off. And finally, an OG. This show is brought to you by our buddy Greg and the folks at LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue across from Kroger. Go check them out. They got the $10 lane train specials. Everything in the freezer is $2 off. And now you can text them ahead of time. Place your order. Go scoop it up. Get ready for this weekend. The week six slate is a lot of fun. So go over there and get your protein from Greg and the folks at LB's Meat Market in Oxford, Mississippi. Like we always say, Arby's, they're full of shit. LB's has got the meats. All right, let's bring the folks in. We got Ben. We've got Austin. Nick is currently in route to Columbia, South Carolina. So he is not able to join, but we do have his picks. We will get those to you as well. I believe Austin has a couple interns over there as well. But let's get into Ole Miss, South Carolina. We know that last week was pretty – I mean, it sucked. It was it wasn't good. I was, again, 7 hours away.
I'm blaming the loss on us not having our show.
I was going to say, we took the week off and the Rebs took the week off.
Yeah.
Same time.
I can't go to Europe anymore during the season. That's off the table now. We're not here to talk about Kentucky. Enough has been said about that one. Look, everybody keeps talking about the college football playoff. Is the season over? No, it's not over. There's plenty of time left. There's plenty of games. There's plenty of big games for Ole Miss to win. Starts this weekend on the road in Columbia, South Carolina. You have got an humongous opportunity to go make a statement. Everybody's expecting you to fall flat on your face in Columbia at Williams-Brice Stadium with sold out crowd. No, go out there, make a statement, and all is well.
I mean, it's – I hate the overreaction game that people play. The, oh, well, if they go to South Carolina and lose, it's over. Like, well, I mean, maybe. But, like, you know, we had to win that game in the preseason anyway. So, like, before the season started, it's not like anything has really changed about South Carolina. Okay, let's look at it this way. Let's say Ole Miss had beat Kentucky, okay? And then Ole Miss goes and loses at South Carolina after beating Kentucky. Is LSU then a must win? Of course it is. Yeah. Like, yeah. So it's not like we've just shifted it up a week. So, I mean, you had to go – you really needed to go 3-0 in these games anyway, that being Kentucky, South Carolina, LSU. I'm not going to not say that. Like, that's – what needed to happen, because frankly, Ole Miss is favored in all three. Right now, Ole Miss is what, a 3.5-point favorite against LSU, and a what is it, 8.5 at South Carolina right now. It opened like 10.5, and then in 17.5 against Kentucky. So you would expect to win those games. And I'm talking too long, so I'll stop. But long story short is, if you lost one, you got to win the other two anyway. So it's not like, I mean, obviously you'd want to win the home game, but. You know, it doesn't really change a ton for me yet. Like it.
No.
And I'm not trying to spin it. I'm just saying, if you lose the next game, well, you really needed to win it in the preseason or before the season started. You really looked at it and said you need to win it anyway. So you need to go 2-1 in these three, and really 3-1 in these three in Oklahoma, and really 4-1 in these three Oklahoma and Arkansas. You know, nothing's changed other than the fact that you really don't need to lose another one of these non-Georgia SEC games.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the losses – go ahead, Zach.
Well, before you go, I was just going to say, it was always, you know, you count Georgia as a loss, and then you had some wiggle room for one more, 10-2. I've heard so many non-Ole Miss people, national people on radio, on podcasts, written – everybody still says if you're in the SEC and you go 10-2, I mean, barring all these other people going undefeated or whatever, it's okay. You're in.
I've been shocked by the national reaction to the loss. They've handled it much better than Ole Miss fans have, frankly. Yeah. We only fell to 12th in the AP poll. I listen to a ton of, you know, sports and gambling content. Nobody has been overly critical of that loss. Nobody. People called it what it was. It was kind of a fluky loss. We allowed Kentucky to drag us into a game that they wanted to play, meaning you played on the razor's edge. They limit possessions, lengthen, you know, drives, shorten the game. That's exactly what they did. We fell into that trap. We turned the ball over. They did not turn the ball over. The game hinged really on a crazy bomb, 4th and 7 from their own 20 or whatever it was. Sometimes those, they just go against you. Now, look, we should not have been in that position. I'm not excusing the loss.
No, that's right.
I'm just saying, nationally, I don't think the perception of this team or our program has changed very much. It just hasn't.
The folks who thought we were overrated did anyway at the time. And that's not many of them. I'm talking specifically about the Cover 3 podcast, which is very heavily Florida State influenced.
Yes.
Specifically Danny Cannell and Bud Elliott.
Even those dudes were – I mean, Bud has not been overly harsh. And here's the thing. I think the Kentucky loss will age well, as probably about as well as a loss can age outside of, like, Georgia, perhaps LSU. I just think Kentucky's probably going to be like an 8-4, 9-3 team. Like, yeah. I know what I saw.
Good. They're pretty good.
I cannot explain the South Carolina loss. That loss to South Carolina week two, I didn't watch a second of their game. I have no idea how it happened. But I watched a lot of their game against Georgia, and that's a damn good football team. And I watched every second of the Ole Miss game. I'm just telling you, on defense, there aren't 5 SEC teams better than them on defense.
No.
That's what I've been telling people, because both things can be true, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that Ben said, everything that you said, Austin, look, all of this to say, everything that we just talked about, Kentucky only scored 20 points.
20 points. Yeah.
So the Ole Miss's defense did its job. And look, you had the fluke fourth and seven. Mm-hmm. You had the fortuitous bounce off of a great forced fumble at the goal line. Ole Miss gets that, recovers it. You get a couple first downs, it's a wrap.
An absolute bullshit holding your DPI call in the end zone on third down to extend that drive.
How many times did a
four third down conversions on penalties?
Yeah.
But on the flip side, can also be true. Kentucky might have the best front seven that Ole Miss will see this year.
Might definitely have the best interior defensive line Ole Miss will see.
Deion Walker is a first round.
Yeah, he's good.
For sure. Oh, my God. Dude, war daddy. Like, absolute game wrecker in there. And not just talent. They are as well-schemed a team as you will face.
Yeah.
Period. Like, Stoops is every bit as good as Kirby and that staff. It's just that Stoops doesn't have Kirby's players most years, right?
Like, maybe better than Kirby.
Yeah. Like, the guy can scheme up a defense. He just can. And they did. They forced us to play at their pace and their tempo. We did not adjust until it was too late. And when you play a game where you only run 50 plays, each play's significance is magnified. And that's what we saw. We had a costly fumble that in a lot of games would not have mattered all that much if you run 70 plays a game. But when you run 50, that one play can swing the entire game.
Yeah.
All right. So you ask what happened? How did South Carolina beat Kentucky like that?
Yeah.
Well, first off, Brock Vandegrift was 3-for-10 passing.
Yeah.
Well, one pick.
What was
Gavin Wimpson, 3-for-7, one pick.
What was the first quarter score?
7-0 South Carolina.
What was the second quarter score?
Halftime, it was 10-6 South Carolina.
Oh, wow. So they even kept it close in that first half. Kentucky's one of those teams that if you could just get up two scores, it's over because they have one. Yeah. It's like playing the option. They have one way of beating you, one way. Mm-hmm. And that worked out for them on Saturday. And again, not excusing the loss. Ole Miss is a better team than Kentucky.
I'm just saying, you would have, I guess,
wiggle room in that we could go to South Carolina and lose and then make the LSU game a must win. But it just doesn't affect me yet. We're going to have to lose that second game for me to be like, oh, God, like it's trouble. Because not to go all Pollyanna, but, I mean, even if you lost at South Carolina and you won at LSU and you beat Georgia at home and you won all your other games, well, at that point you're going to have the argument of, well, we won our last six games and we all know how that works. And I don't think that that team gets in, a loss at South Carolina, lost at home in Kentucky, but maybe they do. Maybe they do.
The other thing, and I know why, because we're Ole Miss fans, and so Ole Miss is the only thing that matters, right? But none of this happens in a vacuum, right? Like, what if Georgia loses three games? Like, what if Texas loses three? Or, you know, Bama goes undefeated and Tennessee has four losses or what? Like, there's a lot of moving fucking parts here. Like, it's not just like, oh, two losses, you're out. Like, it's not how it works, man. It depends on what everybody else is doing, too, not just in the SEC, but around the country.
Well, what happens if Tennessee goes to Arkansas Saturday and loses? Is anybody shocked?
Like, things happen. Things happen.
Yeah. Everybody has good players and everybody gets hot. We watched the 2016 Ole Miss team beat Georgia 45-0 or whatever it was, 7.
Might as well have been nothing. Yeah. I mean, it was.
It's October 3rd. Everybody has to play games. Ole Miss isn't the only team that plays games. Ole Miss isn't the only team that has injuries.
No.
I mean, there are going to be people that are going to get banged up. There are going to be weird losses. I mean, what happens if Alabama loses to Texas and then Georgia beats Texas and then Texas lose to, you know, Oklahoma, whoever? I mean, all this stuff can happen. So, like, Ole Miss just has to handle business, stop worrying about what everybody else says, and just see what happens at the, you know, November 28th and see when the smoke clears, what's going on. But the season's not over. The people who are saying that are just being hyperbolic for no damn reason other than to try to shock jock people.
And don't look now, but Tennessee's, you know, best win at Oklahoma, that Oklahoma team got whipped by Auburn and happened to win the game.
Yep.
Like a bad
pick six. A pick six changed the entire. I mean, it lost Auburn the game and won Oklahoma the game.
Yeah.
If you Auburn freeze, just run the ball.
Yeah, run the ball.
So,
point is like maybe Tennessee. You know, I think everybody's assuming, well, they're going to go 10-2 or 11-1, and maybe they do. Maybe they have a super easy schedule.
Yeah, they might. Like,
I haven't looked at it, but I'm telling you, I told y'all this. I think earlier this week, I think I may take Arkansas money line as one of my money line sprinkles, because like it's just one of those trips that like Nico's going to have to go to. Is it in Fayetteville or is it in Little? Mm-hmm.
Is it Fayetteville? Right?
I mean, yeah. It's like weird there
at night, right?
And I'm not saying Arkansas is like this great team, but they have an athletic quarterback that makes things get weird.
Arkansas will be the best offense Tennessee has faced this year.
Yeah, that's right. And so
how many backup quarterbacks has Tennessee faced?
I don't know.
But, I mean, Oklahoma's offense is trash. North Carolina State's offense is trash. I mean, Petrino's going to scheme it up. I know Tennessee's front seven is pretty damn good. Their defensive line is nasty. But Petrino's going to have something for that Saturday night. I don't know if they can pull it off outright. But, look, I would not be surprised at all if they did. I just wouldn't.
Yeah. And that's
the games are going to get harder for Tennessee.
To counter what I was saying earlier about the Kentucky loss, what sucks is that's the light other than the Egg Bowl, that's probably the biggest line Ole Miss is going to have this year. The most points Ole Miss will be favored by, and it was at home. Mm-hmm. So it's
that's
like
big. I think that's the biggest reason, because look, I was telling people this. I think we probably talked about it. This wasn't like there were people that were like, oh, watch out for Kentucky. Like Ole Miss needs to wash their ass. No. Everybody picked Ole Miss to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like what you game hope day, is clean sweep. Everybody I talked to last week leading up to that game. Yeah, Kentucky's pretty solid, but Ole Miss should handle them. Mm-hmm. Like that, it happens. Weird shit happens. And look, we talk about Tennessee. Tennessee's got to play this Kentucky team. Mm-hmm. So, look, just if you're an Ole Miss fan, you know, blinders on, you know, just tunnel vision, just – if you're Ole Miss, take care of business. Everything else will work out. And that's all you can do anyways. Yeah. So you turn the page. Let's go to South Carolina here. I'm gonna be brief. Couple stats here. I told y'all this earlier in the week. Ole Miss 1-4 in SEC openers under Lane Kiffin. The next week, bounce back, won the game. So Kiffin, big on culture. Big on mentality, pro mindset, all of that. Been pretty true. Ole Miss has been able to get up off the mat and win a game in the SEC after losing the opener. Another stat that I was telling Ben about before we started, South Carolina under Shane Beamer, 2-11 versus ranked opponents. 2-11. So, I think in those two wins was the beatdown of Tennessee when Hendon Hooker got hurt and Juice Wells went ham. And then the other one was Juice Wells going ham against Clemson. Juice Wells is the common denominator in those two wins.
And Spencer Rattler.
Yes, that too. But Shane Beamer has just always been this guy that – in South Carolina, just as a program too, even under Spurrier before he got it going, always really spunky, especially at home. That stadium, I've been to many games there. It's so much damn fun. That place is rowdy. The fans are great. The stadium is built to keep noise in, but it's always just like right until the end and they can't pull it out.
Yeah.
And I think that that's how this weekend is going to go. I think Ole Miss has enough leadership, a lot of 2-3 year guys on transfers on this team. This isn't a bunch of 1 year rentals. There's some experience on this team, and not just the transfers. There's some experience with, high school guys that have played a lot of snaps with Ole Miss. I think Dart gets this team back on track. I think the defense is. I don't think the defense gets enough praise. Because of the loss last week, the defense was phenomenal, did their job. I think they get after Sellers. Rocket Sanders is still banged up. He's got that ankle sprain. maybe going to give it a go. Not sure. Sellers, I don't think Sellers is going to be 100% either. I think the defense is going to cause a lot of problems. And look, I don't know what the deal is. Shane Beamer and that offensive staff, they still don't know how to use Nick Harbor. And yeah, that dude is a cheat code. Maybe they try to force him the football, but I like Ole Miss here. I like Ole Miss to cover. I think it'll be tight early, and I think like a 38-13, 38-16 type game where I think the better team with the better quarterback and the better front seven gets it done. And then it just, you know, everything ramps back up for LSU because you just got to win. But I like Ole Miss in this spot. Yeah, just the history of Beamer and this South Carolina program just not being able to get over the hump in these ranked matchups in recent years. And look, this is the biggest game for Lane Kiffin on the sidelines at Ole Miss. He knows it. The team knows it. I think they respond.
Yeah, I agree. I'll look for Ole Miss to come out and cover. You can lock that in for me. I think Nick picked South Carolina money line. I'm going to be brief. I think that last week, while it wasn't completely fluky because Kentucky's good on defense, I think that Ole Miss comes out and just looks sharp. And Jackson Dart, I mean, one thing about Ole Miss is yes, it's a collection of transfers, but there's a core of guys that came back who are old and mature, and I don't think they're going to allow this thing to get off the rails. I mean, what year is Sellers for South Carolina if he plays?
He's a
freshman sophomore.
True sophomore?
True sophomore. So he's, what, 2-3 years younger than Jackson Dart. I just think that this is a team that will go in there and get the job done. I do. I think that this is a 10 to 12-point win by Ole Miss.
Redshirt freshman, excuse me.
Yeah.
Look, I think even if you've lost some confidence in Ole Miss's offense, and I can't blame you if you have after the Kentucky performance and with injuries piling up on the offensive line, especially, I think I could understand that. I would direct you to the other side of the ball where the defense is fine. The defense is actually more than fine. I'm going to rattle off some numbers. We're number one in the country in tackles for loss. Right, we have 53 total on the year. Number two in the country in sacks. Number two in the country in opponent success rate. Number one in the country in adjusted line yards per rush. We have 11 players with a sack this year. Our defense is going to be fine. They've been fine.
Yeah,
they're going to continue to be fine Saturday. I cannot imagine Carolina going over their team total, which is 21.5. You're asking our offense, even if you've got lowered expectations, perhaps, to go into Carolina and score 21 points is what we're saying. Three touchdowns. I think that's doable. I don't know if we're going to cover. I'm going to lock in the under 53.5. I don't see South Carolina scoring. I think they maybe get, you know, 13 to 17, that range. I can see us getting 24, 28, 31.
Mm-hmm.
That's a comfortable under. 53.5. It actually kind of gives me confidence in Ole Miss, because if you think that game goes over, who's doing the scoring?
Right. That's
in Carolina.
Down.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's a 42-14 Ole Miss win if it goes over. Right. I don't see that happening, but I if you told me 31-13, yeah, I could see that. So locking in under. I think we'll bounce back.
Yeah, a couple more stats that I think are very telling for how Saturday will go. Ole Miss is third nationally in defensive rushing efficiency and fourth nationally in third down defensive success rate. So think about that, too, with last week against Kentucky. Ole Miss got stops on third down, mm-hmm. and then there's just these phantom flags. And look, I'm not doing the blame the officials thing, but there were at least three occasions that I remember, and I was watching – in a dark hotel room in Berlin at night. So maybe my memory's a little foggy. There was at least three or four where there was a flag thrown by a side judge or a back judge that was nowhere near the play.
But you know where he was? He was near Kentucky's sideline.
Yeah.
And look, little inside baseball here. I officiated for 14 years. When you're not right next to the play and you throw a flag, that does not look good. Mm-hmm. Like the SEC absolutely talked to that crew and they were like, yo, we can't be doing this. Look, I did high school where like it doesn't matter, but like when you're on TV and people see that, that's a bad look for a crew.
Also, like millions of dollars are at stake. Like,
yeah, that's so the third down defensive success rate, top five in the country. That's big. Get off the field on third down, and then defensive rushing efficiency. Just plug it. They're going to try to use Sellers in the run game. Rocket Sanders, if he plays, is not going to be 100%. You got to hit him in the mouth early. Get off the field, and then just give those extra possessions more time to your offense. I think Kiffin's going to try to really take out some frustration this week.
What I would do is I would put a front of Pegues, Nolan, and Ivy, and I would spy Sellers with Suntaron Perkins.
Perkins.
He would just chase him around all day, kind of like what he does with or did with Milroe. And then I would have everybody else focus on Rocket Sanders and say, you know what, Sellers, beat me with your arm because you're challenging.
Man, Perkins' play got lost in the shuffle last week because we lost the game.
Yeah.
He played a hell of a game.
Yeah. He was great. He's coming into his own now.
Yep. Yeah. That closing speed, man, there are not many dudes in the SEC that do that.
No. And it's a bad matchup for Sellers in that him specifically, because if they play him right – and all he does, it's like, don't even worry about Rocket Sanders. You just chase Sellers around. That's exhaust. I mean, yeah, maybe he breaks one or two or whatever, like for 25 yards or whatever. I don't know. But like that, it's exhaust. By the end of the game, you're beat down because it's like, man, this guy will not leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Like he's hitting me every single play.
Yeah. That's a good point about Perkins. It was lost. Look, there were a couple times in that game, it looked like he was wearing number 12. Mm-hmm. If you catch my drift. Looked like a fellow five-star from Batesville out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's found a role. And look, I think
We're going to need him Saturday because I think we're going to be down some guys on defense.
Like,
so.
We're going to have to stop fouling in the secondary. Like
for sure.
I get it. They're throwing flags from 30 yards away, and it's questionable. But like a couple of them, yes, it's questionable. But I can see why the flag was thrown. Mm-hmm. Now, one was bogus. The one in the end zone on I can't even remember who the guy was, but they were in the south end zone, and it was like a slant or a post route over the middle.
Dane Key, and they called
terrible a call.
Yeah, that was a terrible call. But those down the sideline, we were handsy with them. Mm-hmm. I could see where he threw it. And I don't know if they're mad because we fake injuries. I don't know if they're not mad, but I don't know if we don't could be. I don't know if it's the other coach in their ear. Like, you know, I don't know and I don't care. But at some point, like the one play we needed, the one play we needed to foul, we let Marion Brown catch it.
Yeah.
It's like tackling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, the fake injury stuff, stop that shit. It does nothing.
We're not benefiting from it at this point. We no, have depth. It was different when we didn't have depth. We have depth now.
Well, also, if you're gonna do it, let's make it less obvious. At least, like, you can't be so blatant.
My God. It's not doing anything, and it's just pissing off the officials.
Yep.
And look, let's be real. They would love nothing more than to stick it to Lane Kiffin at this point. So, just stop.
And it just prolongs the game, right? They're humans too. They don't want to be in there for 5.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. There's enough damn commercials already.
That's another. We can't do anything about it. So this is. I'm just going to bitch for bitching's sake. That was another thing in the Kentucky game. The TV timeouts disrupted the offensive flow, the game flow. Period. But for a team that is so dependent on offensive flow like us and rhythm, the TV timeouts were just killers, man. Killers. 3.5 minutes per timeout. And like there was one, we came back before the 2 minute timeout, ran one play, and they go to a TV timeout, and then we had the 2 minute, right? It's unbelievable.
It was like a 9 minute break.
It's unbelievable.
It's half. That's half as long as halftime.
It's again, in between points. Nothing's going to be done about it. We're all going to have to suffer through it together. But it really did disrupt game flow.
Yeah, it sucked. All right, let's switch it up a little bit. Instead of running through the slate, we can just kind of go round robin and just throw out locks. I will throw out some nuggets here. Ole Miss was on this list. They are no longer on it after last week. But just for the people listening, teams that have covered every week this season, UNLV, Army, Tennessee, San Jose State, Marshall, and Eastern Michigan. Shout out to my boy, Roddy Jones. Yeah, Eastern Michigan, the Eagles. Roddy Jones threw that out on CSN. Give them a listen if you don't already. That's a great podcast. Teams that have not covered every week, NC State, Air Force, Kansas, Kent State, Wisconsin.
Man, Kansas, sneaky, they bad.
Fell off of a fucking cliff.
Mm-hmm. Lance Leipold should have got out of there.
You want to talk about losing an OC and just completely blowing it up? I mean, good.
He's in Kentucky too, isn't he?
Penn State.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But Kansas has also had some other stuff working against them. They don't have a home field this year. They're playing every game away. They're playing at Chiefs Stadium and whatever. So that's part of it, I'm sure. But yeah, Kotelniki, the loss of their offensive coordinator, that's been huge.
Yeah. All right. I'll jump in here first. And dude, like, we're going to tell you what Nick's got on the board, but our guy went ham this week. He's got a big ticket, but, I like a lot on this card this week too. I'm going to go ahead and jump out and grab this one. Iowa, Ohio State under 44.5. Let me double check and make sure that's still the number. This to me has like 35-7 written all over it. I mean, it opened at 24. It's now comfortably at 18.5 to the Buckeyes. The total is, 45.5 right now. I just think that this is a crockpot game. Ohio State just sits on them. Iowa's shifts some things around, and everybody thinks, Iowa's figured out the forward pass. Ohio State's going to be way better everywhere on the field, and they're just going to control the game. Yeah, under big time.
Yeah, the other thing there is Ohio State's got a giant look ahead next week. So I think they will be content to just race to, 33, 38 or whatever. And then, like you said, crockpot, I think is an apt description. I don't think that they have any interest in pouring it on. Like, they've got a big look ahead at Oregon next week. So I think they get in there, they're a well-oiled machine. They take out Iowa first half and then just boa constrictor. Yeah.
Sorry, I said 35-7 is a comfortable. I mean, that would be tight, but yeah, you get what I'm saying. Like 31-0, 38-0. They're just going to dominate.
And Iowa still can't score against elite talent.
I'm going to take first Florida +2.5 and also Florida money line. I'm going to do both. I think Florida wins the game outright. I think Nick also has Florida money line.
And I'm going to be on it too. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So, take that was easy. Florida, everyone. I mean,
+1.2 money line.
Yeah.
+1. Let's see what we can get now.
I'd say it might be different now.
Yeah. It's just an auto bet with Florida off of a bye.
122.
Okay.
Florida off a bye and UCF off an absolute ass whipping as a 14-point favorite. Colorado goes into Orlando and just beats the brakes off of UCF. How do you bounce back from that?
I'm not so sure that Florida wouldn't beat Colorado at home. In the swamp. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm not saying Florida's any good, but
Yeah.
They're going to beat Central Florida. KJ Jefferson, be down. Florida's going to beat them.
Dude, he's washed.
He is.
He's gotten worse.
He sucked at Arkansas.
Yeah, he's worse now.
Yeah, he was better in, what was that, 22 or 21?
Yeah, so he was solid early in his career. all right, what else you got besides Florida money line, Austin?
Let's go to Louisville. I want to lay 6.5. Can I still get under a touchdown?
Let's see here. Louisville. Yep, 6.5.
Yep, lay them against SMU. I think SMU is a fraud. They beat an absolute trash FSU team last week, and so that gave us a pretty good number on Louisville. If you didn't watch the Louisville-Notre Dame game or see any clips, you might be tempted to think that like Notre Dame waxed them. Louisville looked like the better team for a lot of that game. And if you dig into the box score there, I'm not sure that Louisville didn't deserve the outright win. I think Louisville's a pretty good team. I don't think SMU has seen this kind of clash yet, you know, this quality. Their schedule's been pretty cake so far. They've got a home loss to BYU. You know, they beat TCU in a really weird game. They had like 21 points off of punt returns and pick sixes and all kind of crazy shit. I just don't think SMU is that great. And I especially don't trust them to go into Louisville against Brohm. I mean, this is a coaching mismatch if there was one. I could see Louisville rolling here like 42 to 20, something crazy.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to throw these out here as a double dip just because out of respect for the troops, service academies. I got Navy -9 against Air Force.
Yep.
And then I will also throw you Army -11.5 over Tulsa. Both Army and Navy. Pretty good.
Yeah, I want to join you on Navy. I don't want any part of the Army action, but I had Navy circled. Dude, Navy is putting up points, man.
Yeah. I mean, they're running like the air raid now, basically.
Yeah, they're chunking the ball around. And by the way, we saw their offensive coordinator last year, right? He was the head coach at Mercer. Didn't we play Mercer last year?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. We won like 73-7 or something.
They had the first play of the game, though. They had
they did.
Yeah.
Zone read touchdown. Yeah, I think he's Navy's OC now. I think dude's good, man. They're good.
Yeah.
They piled it on Memphis. I think they're going to do the same to Air Force here. Air Force gave up 31 to Wyoming last week.
And that was that's a Wyoming team that is not your granddad's Wyoming anymore. They're struggling.
No.
And they killed them.
I am still going to stay there. We're going to lock in under if I can get 37. Under 37. Yeah. Service Academy, you got to take the lights. It's an auto lock for me.
Yep.
In those games. Even if Navy runs it up, Air Force may not score.
Yeah, they may not score.
And in the game, you want to talk about playing Kentucky being a short game. When the service academies get together, the game's over in 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. And they're not there to – I mean, yeah, there's a level of respect there too, right? Like the coaches – I mean, 28-3 could be the final game. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back. You also mentioned – how bad Florida State is. I agree with you. And so I am actually going to take the Clemson Tigers and lay, I think it's 14.5, but if we can get 14, I'd like that critical half point.
Hey, can't get you 14. Am I reading this right? Vegas Insiders has this line opened at -4 Florida State.
Yeah. That's
back in the summer. Yeah.
Look at that swing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Florida State's awful. I mean, they got wrecked by a bad SMU team.
Bad.
This is helmet bias by Vegas. I don't get this at all.
Yeah.
And I know Vegas has no technical bias, but maybe the fan, I don't know. But 14.5, that's fishy, but I'm going to go right into it. Like I can't.
I love it. Like, aside from the fact that it's just a mismatch of the two teams, you don't think Dabo will want to run this one up if he gets a chance?
Okay. Well, we talk about Ole Miss being in a must-win. Now that Clemson got exposed by Georgia, they can't go to Florida State and play with their food.
No, they need to blow Florida State out.
Yeah, because they go 10-2 in the ACC with a loss at Florida State or even a 11-1 in a close game against Florida State.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're like that 9 seed or the 11 seed.
Mm. Revenge spot here because Clemson dominated the entire game last year.
I remember.
And then had a fumble, Florida State wins. So, yep. Yeah, Dabo is going to put up a number if he can.
Yep. And he all does right. that, man. He does that. Like, that gets lost in the churchy stuff and all that. But, like, if he has a hard-on for you, it's like he used to love to beat the shit out of Georgia Tech for some reason. Like, he hated – what was their old coach's name?
Paul Johnson?
No, no, no. The defensive coordinator guy that went to
– Oh, shit.
Jeff
The Collins. Mississippi State guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Dabo hated that dude because he used to, like, lift weights on the field pregame or whatever. So, like, Dabo hated that. He would beat him, like, 63-0. I'm not saying it's that bad this week for Florida State, but, like, it's, like, 38-10.
You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Ole Miss fans, your only choice for daily fantasy sports is Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app, Prize Picks has over 5 million active members. And it's fun and it's simple. Pick two or more players from any sport and whether they'll go for more or less of their projected stats, choose flex or power play, and watch the winnings roll in. Flex means you still win even if one of your picks misses. Power plays are higher payouts, but you got to get all of your picks right. Bottom line, you have options that fit your daily fantasy playing style, but only with our friends at Prize Picks. And they've already made me a winner. CeeDee Lamb, an easy pick for more than 96 receiving yards. The only weapon for Dak Prescott in his more or less of 263 passing yards. Even better, you can now get up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. And winning withdrawals with Prize Picks are fast, safe, and secure. When those picks hit, you can get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. That's code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Code TALKOFCHAMPIONS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive this $50 bonus. It's guaranteed with Prize Picks. Run your game.
New Jersey's got a lot of historic wows, from Victorian beach towns to Revolutionary War battlegrounds. Explore wow after wow at more than 463 historic landmarks, in museums, lighthouses, and over 58 state and national parks. It's one wow after another after another. You get it. Find your wow at visitnj.org/history. New Jersey, little state, lot of wow.
All right, next one, I'm going to throw my first money line in here. It might be my only one because, man, I got out to a hot start on the money lines this year, and then I have just nosedive. I mean, you want to talk about, like, as I was across the pond, I mean, it was like I was flying a German fighter jet.
Be careful.
Just flew into the infield at Tempelhof. I'm going to take Stanford money line plus 260. Okay. Virginia Tech is not at – Ben's on mute, and he's yelling at me.
No, I don't hate that pick. I may have to join.
So I'm think not there about yet. It.
That's think a long it. Trip for the Hokies.
Long-ass trip. Virginia Tech has – I mean, people were – you want to talk about Ole Miss getting hyped up. People were hyping up the Hokies big time.
Yeah. Imagine losing to Vandy and Stanford in the same year.
And look, Stanford, we just talked about Clemson. Stanford was moving the football on Clemson, and Clemson has one of the better front sevens in the country. So,
also,
what's his name? Troy Taylor can scheme up some stuff. And like Ben said, a long ass flight.
Also, a gut wrenching loss for Virginia Tech.
Oh God. I mean, dude, I totally forgot about that. Cause I'm, you know, trying to get to Germany and then I'd land and I'm like, what the hell happened? I mean, they got,
dude, imagine trying to get them off the mat to go play Stanford this week, fly across the country to play in front of 18,000 people at Stanford.
Like, just about to say, it may not even be 18.
Like, you talk about sleepy time.
Probably be cold. Like, yeah. You know, Pacific. Overcast, like, yeah.
The marine layer will be heavy on those players.
Yeah.
Has anybody gotten on the TCU game yet? Because I don't know if y'all noticed, like, but Houston has not scored a point since like August.
They're terrible. They're terrible. I like their coach, man. I like Fritz, but
yeah, me too.
That roster must be awful.
Yeah, I've got to lay on Zach. May be the play. Give me just a second. I may do both.
We get 16 and a half.
Yeah, we're definitely what's the total?
Golly, it's all the way to 50?
No way. No way. No way. No way. 50? Let's see. 51 and a half.
I don't think Houston helps you out enough for that.
That's what I'm saying. 51 and a half, that's a lot of points. If Houston can't even score once.
I mean, does Dykes have like something out for free? Are they banking on TCU to do all of the heavy lifting here? Like to put 55?
I'm going to do under 51 and a half also.
Want to go under?
Yeah. TCU minus 16 and a half, under 51. That's a sucker bet. I'm getting something's wrong there. Somebody's hurt something.
I'll go with
a big number.
I'll switch from the line to the total. Houston is awful.
Yeah, they're bad. I never would have guessed they'd be this bad. I mean, I like Fritz, but their roster must be just trash.
Yeah.
I've got more locks, but yeah, go ahead.
What you got?
Yeah, let's see. Let's go Wisconsin. Let me lay the 13 and a half against Purdue. I think Purdue is the second worst power conference team. I think Houston's the worst. I think Purdue is the second worst.
13 is Houston Big 12?
Yeah, Big 12, Houston. Yeah, 13 and a half. So Purdue just fired their offensive coordinator, Graham Harrell. That ain't going to fix it.
Like last week. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Like, that's not going to fix it. It doesn't. Like,
Look,
Wisconsin was game last week against USC on the road. I mean, they put up a fight well into the second half of that game. So I think Wisconsin's finding their footing a little bit here. This is more about Purdue than it is Wisconsin, though. Purdue's going to score 10 or something. Longo, we know what Longo does against bad teams. Really, that's all he does is score against bad teams.
And he can cook if he's got a decent quarterback.
Exactly. So I think this is like 35-10.
All right.
Good pick. I like it a lot.
Get slightly weird here. I'm going to lay the points. Let's see, 5 with the Chanticleers hosting Old Dirty. I like Coastal here to win. Old Dirty's been kind of spunky, but not nearly as spunky in years past. And, you know, I don't know. I think Coastal handles it. Put up a good fight against UVA last week, which don't look now, but UVA 3-1. But yeah, Coastal put up 24. I mean, that's pretty respectable against a decent ACC team. But Coastal 3-1 as well. Put up 55 on Jacksonville State, 40 on William and Mary. Won a tight one against Temple, but they beat a good San Jose State team. Last year, when San Jose State was pretty solid, a lot of those dudes are back. I like Coastal to handle Old Dirty.
I like it. Old Dirty off a big win too, right? Didn't ODU beat like Bowling Green or somebody last week, like as an underdog? I think they came off a pretty
And Bowling Green was getting a lot of pub.
Yeah, so it was a classic like flat spot letdown after that huge win. You go on the road. It was by 14.
And it was Old Dirty's first win of the year.
Yeah.
All right. I have a couple to talk about. So I like, and I'll be quick here. I like UNLV minus 6.5 against Syracuse at home. So no analysis. The Running Rebels, I think they're covering like all the time now. They're very good, even without the starting quarterback. It shows you how much they really need him. And Syracuse lost to Stanford earlier.
The backup's better. UNLV's backup is better.
Yeah.
And you got to think offense completely different now. So not a lot of stuff on film.
All right. Yeah. And here, all right. And I know I'm double dipping here, but this one's going to get weird. And I don't think either one of y'all are going to do it. I want the Auburn Tigers plus 23 at Georgia. Georgia is going to have a hangover game after the Alabama game. It's they're physical, but this is, you know, the classic. I'm not saying Georgia's going to lose. They're going to win. They're just going to win like 31-20. And Auburn is sneaky good on offense. They just turn the ball over too much. If their quarterback would protect the football, they'd probably be undefeated right now. But they don't protect the football. I'm not blaming the quarterback like Hugh Freeze. Blame his offense. I don't care. If they didn't turn it over, they would probably be undefeated.
I mean, y'all remember last year, right? Like, took it down to the wire.
Should have beat Georgia. That's right. And should have beat Alabama.
My only concern is everybody saw the game last week. I mean, like 14.5 million people watched Georgia-Alabama. Alabama was beating the absolute dog shit out of Georgia. Second half, came out, whipped them. Whipped Alabama. It took some Ryan Williams heroics to save Alabama. Kirby Smart, you saw him after that game. He stayed on the field. He high-fived and loved on every player. My only fear for you, Bent, is that they are going to circle the wagons and they are going to play their ass off against Auburn. And they're going to, you know, they're about to be in Death Star mode where it's like, we can't slip up anymore. We have got to put people to sleep.
Dude, I don't know if they have that gear this year. I don't know.
They may not, but I think they're
going to have offense.
I think they can definitely have that gear against an Auburn team that's just still not very good. The roster's not there yet.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of value in Auburn right now because they're playing below what they're – go ahead, Austin, sorry.
I was just going to say, full disclosure, I'm not an unbiased party here. I've got 24.5 in pocket for Auburn when the lines open this week. So I'm not riding with Ben on 23, but 24.5 to me was an auto bet, man. That's 4-plus possessions. Like, come on. After Georgia played their hearts out last week and came up short – like, I get what you're saying, Zach. Like, it could be a bounce back spot. It could be a rally. I just think it's more likely that some of their players are still hurting over the Bama loss than it is that they're motivated to destroy Auburn. Like, that didn't get the Bama game back.
They can destroy Auburn and Auburn still cover, though. Like, 42-20.
It's a lot of points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. We've all seen, other than like the occasional Shea Patterson just collapse. Hugh Freeze typically gets his teams up in these games.
If he'll just run the ball, they cover the game.
They'll cover it. They'll make it a second-half game if he'll run it.
Again, look, obviously, either thing can happen. It's college football. But the players that Georgia recruits, the way that staff is, the way Kirby is, you have to think that the guys that they have in that locker room are going to shake it off quick. Like, I feel like that's vetted when you're recruiting guys where it's like, you know, are you a dog or are you a wolf? You know, that kind of thing. So, but it is a lot of points. I'm not that, you know, hand up accountability there. Like, it's a lot of points, and it's a rivalry game. It's going to be weird, whatever. So, both things can be true. Georgia could whip them, but Auburn could cover. I just worry about it spiraling early. If Hank Brown or Peyton Thorne, whoever the hell is playing quarterback, has a couple turnovers in the first quarter.
That's only if Derek Nix is calling the first quarter, though. Once Hugh takes the reins in the second half, like, game on at that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, I got a couple more here. I am going to go to the flats in Atlanta. I will be driving through there tomorrow, and Lord knows I will hate every fucking second of it. But I'm taking the Duke Blue Devils plus 10.
This is sick.
It is.
Look,
like hazmat shit.
I gave a shout out to my guy Roddy earlier. Roddy, if you don't know who Roddy Jones is, the dude used to tote the rock for Georgia Tech. And we talk about, are you a dog or a wolf? He was a fucking wolf. He was on Duke this week. So look, he's a professional. He works for ESPN. He's not gonna, you know, go with the school that he went to, but he was big on Duke. And look, Manny Diaz done a solid job, beat North Carolina last week in a rivalry game. And Georgia Tech, you know, it's kind of, you know, what kind of team are you going to get? You never know each week. You know, they looked really good in the opener, and then they're just kind of back and forth. But 10 points, I do that. I like it. Duke plus 10.
I don't hate it.
I don't either. They're 5-0. Look, this is a game, though, they need to come out healthy because they get Florida State at home next week.
Yeah.
And that's a game they can win. And no matter how bad Florida State is, that's still a big win for Duke.
I was going to say, failed to mention, undefeated Duke.
Undefeated Duke. Yeah. Now, they have played Elon.
Sure. But a 10-point dog. I mean, come on, Manny. Get them going.
Yeah.
What's surprising is that North Carolina game was so close. North Carolina had 70 hung on them by JMU.
North Carolina was up 20-0, right? I think they were up by 20 at one point, and Duke wins the game 21-20. I think that's right.
Yeah, 3 unanswered touchdowns. Yeah.
Imagine State doing that to us.
I would seppuku on the 50-yard line.
Oh, my God.
Samurai. That's
brutal. Style. Absolutely brutal.
Real quick, I'm going to throw another one out there. This feels like a sucker bet, but I don't really care just because of the location and who is the home team. I am going to lay the – let me double check to make sure I got the updated number. Yeah, I'm laying 13.5 with Indiana.
Okay.
They've been beating the shit out of people.
Northwestern
sucks. And it's at that weird stadium.
Yeah. The number just terrifies me. The number stinks, man.
Look, it does. It stinks to high heaven. But I was 0-5 last week, so I'm just going to try to go against the grain here. And look, Siggy, that dude gives zero fucks.
Yeah, you know, he's killing people. Like, if they can win by 14, he will.
If we lose Lane Kiffin to anybody, we need to go after Kurt Cignetti.
He's a killer. He's an absolute killer.
Yeah, that dude could sit next to Tiger Woods in first class.
Yeah.
Because Tiger was like that. Yeah. Cignetti's he's a killer. He's Black Mamba.
I'll just say, like, Michigan's coach better get together. They'll be going after Cignetti, like, ASAP.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Cignetti. I think Cignetti might be trying to parlay this into, you know, maybe head down to Gainesville. We'll see. Michigan would be a good spot for him, too. But he's a damn good coach, and they score a lot. Yeah.
He's been a good coach for years too, man. That's the thing. He's just flown under the radar because of the jobs he was at. But like, he's been a killer for years.
It's kind of like Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome at JMU. It was a lot of fun. Their offense was so cool with Jordan McLeod.
JMU is still good.
And y'all remember the dudes he had on the JMU team? We watched them. I remember us texting about it in the group text. Like, they had dudes on that team.
This was like, even after Ukwu had transferred.
They were low-key a wagon last year. We rode them a lot last year.
Juice Wells started at JMU, didn't he?
Yeah. People forget. But
he just recruits monsters, man.
Juice Wells playing at that level.
Yeah, dude. It's a testament to Cignetti that JMU is still good.
Yeah, right. Now, I like their new coach, too, though. Their new coach is pretty solid. The dude from Holy Cross, he's good.
Yeah.
He's not Cignetti, but he's good.
All right.
He's just a culture builder because you can't tell me Indiana has a bunch of talent. Yeah. He just whatever he does, he gets his guys playing all the same direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all got any more?
I've got a couple left.
We might end up all being like Nick here. I got a bunch of games I like.
Oh yeah, dude. I'm spraying the board this week.
We're getting more read on teams
Yes, more data points. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Now, that could also cut against us because Vegas has more data points too. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
We got a lot of beta now. It's week six.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm going to take one ugly dog. Y'all are going to hate, but I got to do it on principle. Give me Sparty plus 23.5 at Oregon. I still don't buy Oregon. I still don't believe in Oregon. And Oregon has a look ahead to Ohio State next week. So, I think they would be perfectly happy winning 31-17, 31-13, and you have a cover. So I just think Jonathan Smith, his experience at Oregon State, he knows this Oregon team. He's well acquainted. If Aiden Childs is on, he's pretty damn good. It's just that occasionally he likes to throw the ball to the other team and he plays like a young, you know, like a young quarterback. But if you get like B plus Aiden Childs here, I think they might be able to hang like deep into the fourth. Now, watch Oregon win 45-0, but I'm going to bet on Michigan State with a good coach and a pretty solid quarterback, keeping it close more often than not. 23.5 is – I'm not asking for much. Just get 14-17. Yes.
In agreement. I got you. I'm with you. I love it. Yeah, Oregon still hasn't proven to be a killer yet like they were last year. And, yeah – Jonathan Smith, he might take a little page out of Mark Stoops' book and just try to shorten the game and run the football, control time possession. Dylan Gabriel doesn't look the same. Oregon's offensive line has had some issues. Mm-hmm. And look, like we were talking about with Auburn, 23.5 is a lot of points. Mm-hmm.
And Michigan State, like Oregon didn't face these types of teams in the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 historically, right? Like Michigan State, although they might be lower tier Big Ten, they can still put you in a phone booth and play physical, grinded out football, right? They can make you win 27-14 or whatever. Like, I just don't see Oregon big boying this team, even though they're down. Michigan State is not as talented this year as they have been in years past. I'll believe it when I see it. If they beat me, tip your cap, whatever. But I think Jonathan Smith will have them ready.
Ben, what you got?
Not a lot. I'm still looking at the board. It's a
all right, I got one.
Go.
I am going to go with – we were just talking about him, and I've been thoroughly impressed after what we saw in Atlanta when Ole Miss just absolutely handled the Nittany Lions and dominated. Ben and I went to – the Ritz-Carlton afterwards. It was a big dud. Great hotel lobby bar. Last year Ole Miss was riding high at that point, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I was a little nervous going in that game. Maybe a little helmet bias because it's Penn State and it's a big deal. But that was a good team and Ole Miss dominated. You make an OC change, now look at them. UCLA is trash. And I think that James Franklin, like Dabo, when he has an opportunity against a conference opponent, he is going to hammer you. So I will lay the 27.5 with Penn State.
Yeah. James Franklin is also a coach that seems to be very aware of the number in games.
Yep.
Like if they're up by 23, like he will go score a touchdown to cover the number. He's done it 100 times.
That's like a Big Ten thing, I feel like, too. Or at least right. Urban Meyer was that way.
Ohio State.
I think there are certain fan bases.
Harbaugh did it.
Michigan. I think certain fan bases are like, you better cover the number, you know, because we're – the schools who know they're going to win before the game kicks off, they're alone. The number. Yeah, they're more worried about the number than they are the outcome of the game.
Yep.
Yeah, Jimmy, just get me this one.
Yep.
And look, when I see you next summer at Alice Beach, the coffee's on me, buddy.
All right.
Dude, I got one more that's not a money line. And then I got some money lines. I'll do one more. San Jose State, -7 against Nevada. Nevada's really improved. We pick
San Jose State every week. Yeah,
they're good, man.
They cover.
Yeah, they cover. And they got a sneaky good wide receiver. Nobody knows about him. Nick Nash, really good. Their quarterback's played well. Nevada is actually surprisingly competent this year. They're supposed to be one of the worst teams in football, but actually they're kind of okay. I just think San Jose State's much better. I think San Jose's coming off of a bye as well. I know Nevada is. I think San Jose State is as well. I just trust them at home. I don't think Nevada can keep up. So I think this is like 38-13, 38-18, whatever. I think seven is – that feels light.
Yeah.
All right, I've got a –
All right, go ahead.
One. So we may have either talked about this at the beginning of the show or before the show. It's going to I'm going to start getting real weird here. Let's go. The Arkansas Razorbacks plus 14 against Tennessee and Arkansas money line.
Let's go.
It's got to be a big number on the money line. Let's see. Yeah, 400 plus 425. I can get on the money line for Arkansas. Now, that's a sprinkle and not a full unit bet, ladies and gentlemen. Put a tenth of your unit on there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to continue to play the money line against the freshman quarterback in losable games until he does it.
On the road.
He is a great player. That's right. He's a great player. Arkansas is athletic enough on offense. Quarterback's athletic enough that they can make the game weird against Tennessee, get into the third or fourth quarter. We've seen Ole Miss teams that were much better than Arkansas go up there and get hammered. And so this is going to be the bet. I think Austin said this, the best offense Tennessee plays this year.
Without question. So far.
Yeah. And so – I mean, I think Tennessee's getting a lot of mileage out of a win over Oklahoma, who's decent on defense. They're good on defense, but they suck on offense. And let's not talk about how great – I mean, the NC State team that Tennessee was getting a lot of mileage on before the Oklahoma game, that NC State team is a four-point favorite at home against Wake.
And I'm taking Wake money line, by the way. Yeah, and NC State's trash.
They're trash. So, Tennessee, what they were doing to people is the same thing Ole Miss was doing to people. And I'm not saying Tennessee's not – that's what you're supposed to do. I'm just saying, like, two touchdown dog at home in the SEC, like, unless
you're – I think the place is going to be a hornet's nest Saturday night.
Unless you're, like, Vanderbilt, you can't get two touchdowns at home and not take it. That's crazy.
What was the money line odds?
425.
Here's how I like to think about it, too. Y'all hear me do this week after week. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But Tennessee was minus 7 at Oklahoma, and now they're minus 14 at Arkansas. You're telling me Oklahoma's a full touchdown better than Arkansas on a neutral field?
No chance. No chance.
Nope.
No. This is another – I mean, it opened 10.5 preseason. This is another, like – I don't want to say – it's just the – and I don't know if it's the betting public or what, but I just think Tennessee's just a sexy pick right now.
Yeah. And look, dude, they're like you said, Nico's good, but they're not winning games because of Nico.
No,
they're not. They're winning games because of their defense.
The defense. Right. He hasn't been asked to go win a game on the road yet.
I would feel much better about Tennessee covering 14 points here if they had some like an elite running game. Mm-hmm. Like an elite running game.
I could solve it away. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if they had Quinshon Judkins, for example. Mm-hmm. That now, I would be like, well, I'm gonna lay the points, but
the kid they got that, pretty good, but he's not, good.
He's good. I'm not saying he's not good. Mm. But like Arkansas is pretty good on line of scrimmage on defense. They're good tackling, and again, that's just a man. 14 points at home. Imagine if we were catching 14 at home against Tennessee. Our stadium would be literally on fire at the beginning of in a night game. I mean,
It's a free roll for Arkansas, too. Like, they have no pressure here. None.
All right. Austin, you said you're taking Wake money line.
Yep, I'm taking Wake money line. They're going to win a game at some point. I think they're kind of finding – yeah, I just – NC State. Who's NC State to be laying points to anybody in conference at this point? They are bad, man. They're bad. That it's headed the wrong direction there. And then my other money line – go ahead.
I was going to say Hank Bachmeier, one of the better quarterbacks per Pro Football Focus.
Actually playing pretty well, and their system's funky to prepare for. I know Dorn has faced it in a lot of years. Their defensive coordinator, though, has not faced it. So we'll see.
And also look at who they've played not named Ole Miss, mm-hmm. they're putting up points.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that money line pick.
Last one for me is Hawaii money line. This is crazy. San Diego State should not be favored over anybody right now. This is nuts. I know Hawaii historically sucks on the mainland, but this is about as close a trip as you will get from Hawaii to San Diego. That's basically a home game for Hawaii. It's as close as they're getting. So give me the money line there. San Diego State can't be a favorite right now.
So am I reading this line? I like that. But am I reading this line right? That Cal is like plus 10.5 at home against Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Miami should have. They did lose to Virginia Tech. Okay. Yep. And the ACC booth bailed them. I don't think it was a catch. You can't overturn that though.
Pulled the ripcord. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna have to take Cal plus whatever the biggest number is I can get. Nick actually has them money line.
10.5.
Is this the farthest in-conference trip in college football history?
Has to be.
It might be. Like,
distance-wise, Miami to Berkeley?
Berkeley, yeah.
What's that, a six-hour flight? I mean, you might as well fly to London.
Yeah. It's got to be six, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cal plus 10.5. Just for the sake of it being a long trip and Cal's – they beat Auburn on the road. They should have beat Florida State on the road. And I'm not convinced on Miami yet. They're good. Don't get me wrong. Cam Ward's good. But, you know, they should have lost at home to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech got beat by Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, and Virginia Tech played them pretty – it was an even game, right? There was no fluky stuff. It wasn't crazy.
Oh, I thought like Virginia Tech end of the game. Frankly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The end of the game was crazy. But, I mean, you know, the game itself – They sort of went toe to toe with Miami.
Yeah, that's all I got. All right.
I got two more, and then we can wrap this one up.
Man, I hate my picks.
I'm going the complete opposite direction as most people. I feel like I'm going against everybody here. I'm going Texas A&M -2.
Love it. Love it.
I think that Missouri might be frauds. Mm-hmm. Had to dig it out of the damn ground against Boston College, against Vandy. Brady Cook doesn't look as good as he did last year. He doesn't have, your boy at running back to bail him out. And Luther Burden hasn't really played a lot. He's been
guess how many catches Luther Burden has this year. Don't look.
Is it like 10?
19.
Okay. Yeah, he's missed a lot of time. Like one game he was sick, and then, you know, they just haven't – he hasn't had to do a lot because they've been beating up on the little guy. And then the two games they play against somebody with a pulse, they – I don't know. I like A&M at home with Elko getting a plan together and what's his name? I get him confused because there's two guys with the same – same name, but Shamar Stewart is an animal off the edge, and I think he is going to get after Brady Cook
and Nick Scorton.
Yes, yeah, the transfer from one of the directional
Purdue.
Oh, Purdue.
Yeah,
I like them to win this one. And look, maybe Lane Kiffin knows a thing or two about quarterbacks, but Marcel Reed, pretty solid. Very young.
He's good.
He adds a dimension to their offense that Wegman did not with his legs.
Yeah,
Wegman lost his job. Get out of the pocket. Keep the chains moving.
That's over.
Yeah. Dude, I love this. I don't think Mizzou is up to the task in the trenches here. I think A&M's defensive line is going to overwhelm them.
I think even Mizzou knows that they're a little bit fraudulent.
Yeah.
Not the point.
Vandy missed three field goals in an overtime loss.
I think they're like – it's kind of like when we were 10-2 in which year was that? 21
with
Matt Corral. Yeah. It's like worst 10-2 team ever. I mean, we're still 10-2, but like we beat
Matt Corral just willing us to wins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should have won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last one. I know things get a little froggy there, Don't care. I'm going SC Trojans -8 over Minnesota. I just think that Lincoln Riley is going to be able to score a lot of points and just a different type of athlete. Zachariah Branch and company. Woody Marks. Dude, could you imagine Woody Marks on this Ole Miss team?
Come to the SIP.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Quinshawn, for dragging your feet there. But, yeah, I think SC is just going to have too much. I know that the Gophers are good.
You want to talk about Hornets' nest?
Not
Minnesota's going to be lively Friday night.
Not a lot of people, but they have good crowds and the weather.
Will it be cold? Will it be cold yet?
Let's see.
Is it cold up there?
No, it'll be 52 is the low.
Ah, that sucks. Oh, that's
colder than LA.
Yeah, I know. I want to see SC have to play in like 30 degrees.
Oh, I can't wait for that. They're going to start getting that. Look, it's a 50,000-person stadium, but I love that stadium. Like, I think it's a great setup.
That's one of the ones that we've always talked about where if Ole Miss could tear it down and start over, you'd do it like that.
Yeah, I would build it at our capacity now, but it would be like 60,000-ish, but have it structured the way that more upright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, everybody's trying to go away from upper decks. You can have that second deck, but that first deck can't be more than, you know, 20 rows, 30 rows if you're going to do it that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just that stadium's just, it's all new, so it's just really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, let's say this season continues to trend the way it has for Fleck in Minnesota. What's his next move? Like, where does he land? I'm not saying they fire him this year, but like he used to be like one of the sexiest coaching candidates in football. He's just kind of an also ran.
Him and what's his name? Now Iowa State's a lot better this year.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
But you know he kind of missed his window, and then you know everybody was saying like he's kind of stuck in Ames now. Yeah. Maybe Fleck is just kind of stuck in Minneapolis.
Maybe they want to be. I don't know. I just
probably weird. Good. I mean,
did he play in Minnesota?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
No, he played. Where did he play? He played at a MAC school, I believe. Yeah, Northern Illinois. I've actually never been to the state of Minnesota, but I've heard people say it's lovely. So maybe it's just a good.
DJ Fleck is 43.
He's been on the scene for like 15 years. He's been on the scene for 15 years now.
He's been 43 years old for the last 25 years.
PJ Fleck also, he's 43, but he still looks 33.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. He's
trying to get the UCLA job at Western Michigan at 31 or 32. Just telling you, that's crazy, man. Here I am, older than that.
Yeah, that's wild.
We should have been football coaches.
So looking at Nick's card, we had a lot of handshakes with Nick, but the ones that we did not touch on. He's got Syracuse +6.5.
I think we're against each other there, he and me.
Yeah, they're head to head there.
Okay. He's got Southern Miss +15.5.
Why?
Indiana Northwestern -41.5. Everything else we've touched on.
He's got Tennessee -13.5. I have Arkansas +14.
So you got another head.
Yeah.
South Carolina money line, ladies and gentlemen. If you all want to know who you need to hate the most, Nick Carr took South Carolina money line.
Shameful.
Unbelievable. All right.
Well, what's y'all's prediction for our game? We didn't talk about a score. Let's do that before we get off.
Let me look up what I sent Jake. I said 34-16 Ole Miss.
I like that. Man,
that would make me feel so good.
I like that.
I would like for us to do to them what we did to Georgia Tech 2 years ago on the road. Mm-hmm. I would like to go 35-0 in the first half and let me like start grilling burgers in the backyard. You know what I'm saying? Like I want to. Yeah. That's not going to happen, but that's what I'd like to happen.
Some breaking news here. I just talked to my guy Will at Roback, and he did say that they are hoping to have Ole Miss polos for next football season. So it's coming.
Okay.
Look, if you're an Ole Miss person, you know that the University of Mississippi drags its feet with licensing. So it's coming. So it'll be here. Don't worry.
The university drags its feet with everything. That's why our football stadium's 30,000 people less than our counterpart flagship universities.
All right. Yeah. Wait, Austin, what was your – wait, did y'all give score prediction?
Look, I like yours a lot. Just to not copy you, I'll go like 31-14, 31-13, something like that.
Are they that bad?
Their team total is 21.5, and I've seen people that I respect and like on the under for their team.
What are they predicting, 32-21? That's the –
I think that was –
that's 53.5. Yeah.
I think Bill C. said that, something like that.
That put it right on the number. I think we're going to score more than that. I think we're going to score more than that. I was too bullish last week on Kentucky. I'm going to lean into it. I think we're going 41-17, 24-point win.
Okay.
I don't – your lips to God's ears.
Eventually, and maybe not, maybe you can't be as good on defense as we are. And I'm not saying we're like elite, but we're close. And people not turn the ball over. Eventually, they're going to start giving you the ball. Like, that's just that – mm-hmm. that just happens. Mm-hmm. And like Kentucky didn't turn it over; they had flawless possessions. And not to belabor the point of Kentucky, they were running the play clock down to 1 second to punt. Like they were trying to get out of there without getting hurt until the game was 17-13 with 4 minutes to go, and they're like, you know what? Let's just go for it. That's if anything, that tells you how like freewheeling they became in the last 4 or 5 minutes. Like, oh, this is a free shot anyway. We'll probably lose. Let's go ahead and go for it.
Yeah.
I'm counting on Sellers to turn the ball over. He'll probably look like Mike Vick on Saturday, but I'm counting on him to turn it over.
Yeah.
And also, last point, Rocket Sanders, even against LSU, he had a great game, looked slow. Like, even if he's healthy, he doesn't look very fast this year.
Yeah, he's running the ball better, but yeah, he looks a step or two slower.
He does.
Looks – I just heavier. Think there's not a lot of tread left on those tires, man. Arkansas ran him hard. He was banged up at Arkansas for years.
He looks like an old man when he runs. It's kind of like the breakaway speed of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Man.
Look, here's the thing. Even if he was incredible, he ain't going to run against us.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you would need to be an elite running back to do that and then get lucky and, like, break one.
Kentucky ran for 170 against Georgia. You know what they ran for against us?
Like 90 yards or something?
93.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we give up, like, 40 yards a game rushing or 50 yards a game. It's not very much. So, you know, and I know we play nobody, but even Kentucky, who ran for 170, which is a lot of yards on Georgia, a lot.
Especially when you know what's coming. Like, Georgia knew Kentucky was running the ball.
I can't imagine what they passed for on us, and that's including a 70-yard pass play to Berrion Brown.
Yeah. We talked about this preseason. It's played out this way. South Carolina is kind of just a ground and pound, you know, team. That's what they are. I don't think you can ground and pound us unless you have – NFL offensive lineman and NFL running back, and I don't think they do.
No.
Here's we do not need to, like, let them block a punt and run it back for a touchdown.
Exactly. Right? No pick sixes.
No beamer ball.
Even with that, I think we could still win. Like, let's say A&M last year. Remember A&M? We would have gone up 21-3 or 21-0.
Block field goal.
But they block field goal, run it back for a touchdown. It's a 10-point swing. Just don't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for the love of God, punt the ball correctly.
I can't even
We
managed to find the Australian who couldn't punt the ball like 70 yards.
And if you watch him in pregame, he kills it.
I know. I'm not piling on the kid. Like, you're right. He's got it in him. But like,
That's what I'm saying.
We got to have it when it counts.
It's like, step up to the tee, and he's got the yips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Week 6 is going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of plays on the board. Ole Miss, big, big opportunity to not only just get back in the win column, but make a statement. Go out there. Hey, last week is last week. we're going to go score a fuck ton of points and get everybody off of our jock. Exciting game. If you're going to Columbia, have fun. Go to the Vista. Don't go to Five Points. Go to the Vista. Enjoy the food. Great, great food scene there. And enjoy the atmosphere. It's going to be a lot of fun. Appreciate Ben and Austin joining us. Appreciate everybody that makes it possible. Home Field Apparel, College Corner, Roback, Drew Moak, USA Benefits Group, LB's Meat Market, and the rest of our sponsors that do it. We appreciate y'all. We appreciate everybody tuning in. I know a lot of people were missing us last week. We appreciate your patronage.
For sure.
Keep listening. We love it. We love to hear it. That's going to do it. Well, this edition of Hit That Line. Everybody have a good and safe weekend. We out of here.